A Springfield woman who prosecutors say killed two people in an auto accident last month will stand trial after being indicted by a Sangamon County grand jury on Thursday. 27-year-old Andrea Little faces 11 counts, including 4 counts of aggravated DUI, possession of marijuana, and various driving offenses. Little and two passengers were involved in a two-vehicle accident on October 25th on Route 125 in Pleasant Plains. One of those passengers, 35-year-old Stephen Moore of Jacksonville, died, as did the driver of the other vehicle, 16-year-old Danielle Allen of Pleasant Plains. Sangamon County State's Attorney John Millhiser talked to our reporting partners at WICS ABC News Channel 20. He says Little's blood alcohol content was more than 3 times the legal limit, plus she had marijuana in her system.
We will be seeking a very lengthy sentence. This is a tragic case. My thoughts and prayers go out to the victims' families who have to deal with this. Because of this defendant's actions, she is looking at a very long prison sentence. We'll continue to work with the state police to make sure we have the best case possible.
Little faces 6 to 28 years if she is convicted under the aggravated DUI statute. She has a previous DUI conviction, getting court supervision after pleading guilty in 2012. Little has not pleaded guilty in this case. Her trial begins on January 20th.
Hello, this is Ernie Downing. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your insurance agent know your name? Or will you call an 800 number that connects you with who knows who, another state, another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance, someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will know you and protect you. Visit us at Colton Downey Insurance in Root House or in Jacksonville, or call 243-8000.
Hello, Barfield Carpets.
Are there any pilgrims there?
We don't have any pilgrims here.
Well, don't you always say that you have something for everyone?
Well, yes, we do. And we'll bring our samples of flooring to your home so you can see for yourself. Now, you must be learning about Thanksgiving in school. Is that why you're looking for pilgrims?
Yeah.
Be sure you're ready for your holiday crowd, pilgrims and all. Call Barfield Carpets at 243-2655 for first quality carpets and first quality installations.
Jacksonville police made 2 arrests yesterday. 29-year-old Heather Maglitz of the 1100 block of Allen was arrested for retail theft at her residence, referencing a previous incident at around 4 p.m. Maglitz has been released on bond. 37-year-old Joseph Neff of the 900 block of East State was arrested for domestic battery at his residence at around 11 o'clock. Neff remains in custody. On account of numerous financial issues, the fate of the Naples food pantry is being left in the hands of the community. The food pantry was originally founded in the town hall of Naples and received the luxury of having the power and power bills paid for by the town. Recently, because of small space and lack of storage areas in the building, the food pantry moved into the old FS building in Bluffs. Darla Columbus, director of the food pantry for 8 years, says the budget has been tighter since the move.
We have to pay our own power bill, our own water bill. And we haven't been getting donations in like we used to, so it's been really hard to keep the checking account with money in it. Here recently, we've been working with about $200 a month.
Columbus notes that the number of donations in the past few years has taken a big hit.
Well, we used to have like $2,000 to $3,000 at a time in our account, and it seemed like we'd spend some money and we'd get it back in a donation, but it just seems like the money's not coming in like it used to. I just figured it was because of the economy. A lot of people are out of jobs, things like that going on, and they just cut back.
According to Columbus, the food pantry is currently operating on just over $130 a month in donations, but needs much more to run efficiently. She says it would be ideal for the food pantry to gain a reliable party, which provided consistent support. The building the Naples food pantry is operating in, which Columbus says has been vacant for 15 to 20 years, is in desperate need of repairs.
Oh, it needs roof work, the ceilings put back in. We need to build some rooms to put like canned goods and stuff, insulated rooms, new doors. You can kind of imagine from that what we're looking at that needs work.
Columbus notes the food pantry would be able to comfortably assist the community in multiple ways if their financial expenses were taken care of.
We could give out more than just food, because what I'm wanting to do is have part of my building for food and part of my building for clothing, furniture, small appliances, stuff like that, so that, say, the mothers can't afford school clothes when school starts, they can come in and get clothes from us. If someone has a fire or some kind of disaster like that, they can come in and get stuff from us to help them rebuild their home again or whatever they need. We could give a whole lot more than just giving them food.
Naples Food Pantry covers all of Scott County and provides food for more than 300 people and nearly 100 families a month. Winchester High School will be holding a food drive on behalf of the Naples Food Pantry for the rest of the day. Well, it's not a forest, but one Jacksonville spot will have plenty of trees this weekend. Woodhaven Hospice Festival of Trees takes place at the Masonic Temple at 345 West College today from 5 to 8 p.m., tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday from noon to 2:30 with an auction to follow. This year features 24 designer trees, 45 wreaths, centerpieces, and swags, and 18 trees decorated by local student groups, including 4-H and Girl Scouts. Terry Magger is one of the event organizers.
We give the designers the trees and the wreaths. In turn, design them. We've got some really talented people in Jacksonville that can really make a tree look more gorgeous than a tree probably should.
Maggart notes the event has grown from being just something that featured trees.
We've sort of adapted. Some people have come in and said, you know, we really like to do something other than just trees, and they got into the wreaths. And then after that, they decided they wanted some swags. Would that be a problem? And a lot of those things seem to do well with the people at the auction, so we thought, well, let's continue to expand on that, and we do have that, and we appreciate all the donations from the public that come in to design and decorate the trees and the wreaths and the swags.
Maggart says the centerpieces and swags can be used in a non-Christmas setting.
Some of the people have not necessarily held totally with the Christmas spirit, but with the holiday spirit starting, let's say, in November. So they've made like a fall swag or a fall centerpiece that could be used through the Christmas time. And so it's you know, you can get some pretty inventive looks when you come in for the auction.
Maggart notes the auction, which begins after the festival ends on Sunday, is Woodhaven Hospice's biggest fundraiser. He says it's an open auction, but you can bid silently beforehand.
We work all year for this. We start right after January, into January, setting up what we need to do as far as themes and things like that. We start ordering trees in April to get everything going in the wreaths. And it's a real project for us, but we think it's worth it for the service we serve to the community.
Admission is $4 for adults, $2 for students, and $1 for children 6 and under. Maggart notes there will be food and entertainment, plus a kids' play area. Lawmakers will know if they need to go back to the drawing board on pension reform later this afternoon. A judge is set to rule on whether the new pension law is constitutional. Unions say it isn't because it'll reduce cost of living raises for retirees and it makes current workers stay on the job longer. And they say that clearly cuts into their pension benefits, which are explicitly protected by the Illinois Constitution. But attorneys for the state say the Constitution leaves room for lawmakers to make changes in emergency situations. And having a $100 billion shortfall in the pension systems is an emergency. Well, lawmakers won't be voting to increase the minimum wage for at least another 2 weeks as they wrapped up their first week of veto session without passing the bill. But Democrats aren't giving up on it. They're hoping to raise the wage to $10 an hour before the end of the year for workers who are over the age of 18. That rate would not go into effect until July of next year. The proposal apparently has enough support to clear the Senate, but not quite enough in the House yet. Coming up, check all news notes, WLDS Time 739.
No matter if it's a new deck, a room addition for a new addition, or building your dream house, we're ready to do business your way at the Farmer State Bank and Trust Company. For over 100 years, we've been lending to people just like you with competitive rates and flexible terms. You name it, a home equity loan, a line of credit, or a new home loan. Our lenders are experienced, local, and ready to help you. The Farmer State Bank and Trust Company, doing business your way. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Taking a look at the news notes this morning, and a reminder, Carrollton Hawks having a rally parade from the high school at 6 o'clock tonight. They'll travel around the square and back as the football team continues its success in the postseason. And Jacksonville City Cemetery's Board of Managers will meet at 9 o'clock this morning in the commission room of the municipal building.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.